Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 13. If you're following it in the Pew Bibles, it's on 1177, 1177. Entitled The Armour of God, so continuing the series. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Thank you, Michael, for leading through the service so well. And as Michael mentioned, we are continuing our series on Ephesians, spiritual warfare. Last week, we were looking at some of the devil's schemes, his strategies against his people. You could group them under, I guess, four headings, the deadly D's of the devil. He wants to distort or deny the truth of God's word. Secondly, he wants to discredit the testimony of God's people. Thirdly, he wants to depress or destroy, lots of D's, the devil, the enthusiasm of the believers for their work. And then lastly, he wants to dilute the effectiveness of God's people. Satan, the devil, is not omnipresent like God. He can't be everywhere at the same time. He can only be in one place at one time. He needs a worldwide army to carry out his evil, destructive schemes. And he has such an army, as revealed in the verses that Nick read to us this morning. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What a fearsome army Satan has. However, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I want to read just some verses that illustrate that. Your minds maybe go to the incident that I'm going to read in 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officers, "but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, "What shall we do?" the servant said. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened his servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Isn't that amazing? In the spiritual war that we are in as believers, we need our eyes opened to the greater army of the heavenly hosts who are around us and who are surrounding our enemies as well. And that's what we're going to be reflecting on this morning. Hopefully we'll come to a greater understanding of those who are with us, greater number who are with us, but also the great is the number who are against us as well. When Paul says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, he doesn't mean that believers don't experience conflict, hostility from sinful humanity and rebellion against God. We know that to be definitely the case from the recorded life of Jesus Christ, who experienced opposition from his own flesh and blood, his family, opposition from the Jewish nation that he belonged to, opposition from all the ruling powers and authority in power at that time, be they secular, political, and religious. And throughout the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, we see a similar opposition from flesh and blood. In 2023, Open Door Charity Ministry estimates the number of Christians killed for faith-related reasons worldwide was 5,621, carried out by flesh and blood. Yes, our struggle is against flesh and blood. However, the struggle that believers face is far greater than mere flesh and blood. Against us are powerful, invisible spirits of wickedness, darkness, and evil. And we need God to open our eyes to see all the powers who are against us. We need to see such a sight to awaken us to the war that we are in, to mobilize us to action and to a greater dependence upon God and the armor that he has fitted for us. That's why we're going through in stages this book of Ephesians. We need to know a bit more about the craftiness of the devil. We need to know about the forces of evil, the forces of good, angels, good angels as well. Before we come to think about and unpack the armor that God has fitted for us. So we're going to think this morning a bit more about angels, but also fallen angels as well. When last did you hear a message on angels? Not just a reference, but a whole message on angels or demons. I never heard any such message as I was growing up. I never heard any. And we need to know, we need to be equipped. We need to know who we're up against, what we're up against in the heavenly realms. The Bible reveals that prior to God creating mankind, he created angelic beings to worship and serve him in heaven and on earth. What are angels? Well, according to the Bible, angels are spirit beings. They are immaterial. They are without flesh and bones. They are invisible, although they can clothe themselves with bodies in which they can look and act like men. Angels are not bound by physical space, and they are mobile to the extent that they're able to travel from heaven to earth and back to heaven again. Angels are multilingual. Scripture portrays them as speaking in whatever language the hearer, their message, will understand. Angels are ageless and immortal. Depictions of angels as cute babies with wings are ridiculous. An angel's face is like lightning, and his appearance can make strong men fall down dead. A visit from an angel fills people with fear. Where is the angel's residence? Heaven. The Bible describes three different elevation levels above the planet Earth. First, in descending order, comes the third heaven, or paradise, which is the heaven of God's presence. It is referred to as the highest heaven, the heaven of heavens. Second is the stellar heaven of the sun, moon, and stars. Finally, there is the first heaven, or the earth's atmosphere. Holy angels reside in the third heaven, except when they depart on a temporary assignment. What about angels' organization? Angels are organized into a powerful hierarchy to carry out their work. Words such as authorities, dominions, powers, rulers, and thrones describe their functional hierarchy of working under God's authority and command. What about angels' power? In the Old Testament, angels caused blindness, rescued people, and destroyed cities. They struck down 70,000 men of Jerusalem. We'll read about that in 2 Samuel. In the New Testament, an angel moved the extremely large stone away from the entrance to Christ's tomb. An angel released Peter from prison. Herod was struck with a fatal case of worms by an angel. Angels are stronger than humans, but not omnipotent, all-powerful like God. Angels are greater than humans in knowledge, but not all-knowing like God. Angels are swifter and more mobile than humans, but not everywhere present like God. How many angels are there? Revelation 5:12. The number of angels surrounding God's throne was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Well, if these numbers are taken literally, they indicate over 200 million. Yet the number of angels mentioned were only part of the heavenly host. It's probable that these figures were not intended to indicate any precise number, but that the multitude was immense. What is the job description of angels? First of all, they always worship God. They rejoice in the works of God. They always execute God's will. They have influence over the affairs of nations. They watch over the interests of churches. They assist and protect believers. They perform extraordinary acts on behalf of God's people. They minister personally to each one of God's children. Matthew 18, verse 10. It's a wonderful promise. How wonderful to know that mighty angelic beings are on our side. Demons are fallen angels who, along with Lucifer, rebelled against God, corrupted their natures, and they were cast down to the earth in judgment. In number, they are approximately a third of the angelic hosts. Demons, fallen angels, in contrast to angels, they are always serving and worshiping Satan. And the worship they offer Satan, however, it's not that which is freely given, but that which is extracted from them through a reign of fear and terror. They are puffed up with pride and seek to dominate and control through fear. Punishment and retribution are hallmarks of Satan's kingdom. They always execute Satan's will and wishes, which means that they're totally committed to attacking God's special creation, human beings, keeping them out of God's kingdom, radically opposing committed Christians, especially those who have a heart for being obedient to God's will. They are strategically involved in the affairs of nations via ruling princes whom Satan has positioned in control of specific territories throughout the world at the invitation of mankind, who gives them rights through sin. They oppose the interests of churches. Many Christians naively believe that inside their churches they are free from Satan's attack. In reality, that is the place where Satan has a major influence, continually undermining the work of the Holy Spirit, who is moving the fellowship forward to do the works of the kingdom. Fallen spirits, demons, they oppose and they attack believers. Wherever believers are seeking to be obedient to the will of God and to move forward under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, demons will seek to undermine what God is seeking to do through them. Satan is not particularly concerned about those who are just religious. Religion that is outside of the anointing of the Holy Spirit is no particular threat to Satan. They will do all that they can to attack God's children. God's children are Satan's enemies. The personal attacks may include sickness, accidents, financial problems, relationship breakdowns, etc. Indeed, they will take advantage of any weakness in the defenses or unhealed past to gain or strengthen a foothold in the Christian's territory. They perform extraordinary acts on behalf of Satan and his kingdom. Even the Egyptian magicians were capable of duplicating some of the signs that Moses did in front of Pharaoh. And there are many deceptions operating in Satan's kingdom that the people of God need to be discerning about. Scripture says that in the last days, even the very elect may be deceived. And they minister personally to each human being. But their style of ministry is not that which we would want to encourage. To do everything possible to turn a person away from God and to deceive him into actions that are contrary to God's will and purpose. The advantage that Satan and evil spirits have over us. Firstly, they are invisible. Though they see us in every place and on every side, within and without. Yet they cannot be seen by us. Consider what advantage one who sees against a blind man. They know all we do or speak, whether we are in company or alone, in light or darkness. Scarcely a thought can pass from us, but they can shrewdly guess us. They've been studying us all of our lives. They can soon discern all of our devices against them. They are not hindered by bodily impediments. They can pass through or pass over all such things that would stop and hinder us, armies of men, stone walls, iron gates, woods, waters, seas, oceans, and the like. They need not such space of time to pass from place to place as we do, but can suddenly be in diverse places, which are many millions of miles apart, for they have no bodily gravity to hinder them, neither can they be stopped by any bodily obstacle. The sun is not swifter than they. The sight of a man's eye, the lightning from heaven, is not more quick or speedy. They're not subject to any fainting or weariness or failing or decaying of bodies as we are. After they have done many thousand exploits, they are fresh and ready to do many more as they were at first. They need no resting time, but continually night and day, they assault men without intermission and without ceasing. What a terrible army we face as believers, and yet we are ignorant about it. Out of sight, out of mind. It's true, isn't it? We think we just wrestle against flesh and blood, but there's far more that we wrestle against as believers, and we're totally unawares. What a terrible army we face as believers. However, despite the formidable advantages our spiritual enemies possess, there's hope in resisting and fighting against them. Why? Because God, the Supreme Spirit, supreme being of infinite might, well, he surpasses them all, including the devils. His invisibility to them, his omnipresence, his eternal nature far exceeds their capabilities. And God endows his followers with the Holy Spirit, giving them spiritual vision to recognize and evade demonic temptations. Gives them insight, unveiling the enemy's schemes and offering divine protection through his angelic beings. And there are more angelic beings who are for us than fallen angels who are against us. And God has also provided armor, spiritual armor, to enable us to stand in the conflict. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to begin looking at that armor. I want to just close with a story that appeared in the Village magazine a number of years ago. It's called God's 26 Guards. The following story was supported by a medical missionary at his home church in Michigan. While serving at the small field hospital in Africa, I traveled every 2 weeks by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This required camping overnight halfway, On one of these trips, I saw two men fighting in the city. One was seriously injured, so I treated him and witnessed to him of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I returned home without incident. Upon arriving in the city several weeks later, I was approached by the man I had treated earlier. He told me he had known that I had carried money and medicine. He said, "Some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing that you would camp overnight. We waited for you to go to sleep and planned to kill you and take your money and drugs. Just as we were about to move into your campsite, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards. I laughed at this and said I was certainly all alone out in that jungle campsite." The young man pressed the point, "No, sir, I was not the only one to see the guards. My friends with me also saw them, and we all counted them. It was because of those guards that we were afraid and left you alone." At this point in the church presentation in Michigan, one of the men in the church jumped up and interrupted the missionary. "Can you tell me the exact day when this happened?" The missionary thought for a while and recalled the date. The man in the congregation told this side of the story. "On that night in Africa, it was morning here. I was preparing to play golf. As I put my bag in the car, I felt the Lord leading me to pray for you. In fact, the urging was so strong that I called the men of this church together to pray for you. Will all of those men who met with me that day please stand?" The men who had met that day to pray together stood, and there were 26 of them. How many angels were there? 26 angels. Isn't that amazing? And they were just praying. They just were, God put on their heart to pray for them. They weren't praying for God's angels to surround them. But that was how God answered those prayers. And how encouraging that would have been to those believers to know that there was this invisible army. They didn't know that they had sentries. They were sleeping soundly. But there were these army of angels, 26, surrounding them. So we can read stories like that. And we thought, oh yeah, that's nice to read that. But that's why it's important for us to read of the forces who are against us. There is a vast army who are against us as believers. And it's so important that we know that. But also know who's with us. The more who are with us, God is all-powerful. God is not thwarted by anything that Satan does. He even uses Satan for his own purpose, turning it around for good as well. And God's kingdom will come in all its fullness, be assured of that. But our eyes need to be opened to the conflict that we face and the spiritual forces of darkness who are against us and who are working in this world. So we'll continue that study. In 2 weeks' time, we'll look at the first of the armor that God has given us to wear.